For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For many, many years, Alex and I had that on a plaque above our toilet. We got it on our honeymoon that we took about a year after we got married, when we went to the Grand Canyon, and we found it on a piece of wood, and we wanted that in our house. And so seeing it every single day, day in, day out, it was probably one of the first passages in the Bible that I ever learned. Does anybody not know that passage? It's pretty standard, right? For God so loved the world. Well, let's ponder that today, and let's begin with prayer. God, we thank you that you so loved us that you sent Jesus to help us understand better how our lives can be peaceful and in your realm. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we can understand ourselves better, that we can love because we were first loved. Thank you, God, for being you in our lives, for loving us, caring for us, and connecting with us. In your name we pray. Amen. So it's an amazing thing to think of a God that we can't see, that we can't really fathom the greatness of God, and yet we feel this love that is unconditional and amazing. And isn't it amazing that we have these little voices from the back? I just love that. I love those babies. I'm so glad we have babies in our midst. Those are the days when we learn what love is the most, when we see a newborn child, when we connect with children. We as adults, we become numb to showing our love and compassion and caring for people. But with these little newborn babies, we can pour our love out unconditionally without any preconceived notion of how we judge this little being. We just love. And that's how I feel God is. No matter where I am in my life, no matter what's happened, no matter how hard things get, I never feel that God's love is apart from me, or that God loves me any less when I make a mistake. In fact, if anything, I'm the one beating myself up. I don't think that God does that to us. I do think that God can get our attention and teach us things, but this unconditional love, it's the only way that we know how to love, isn't it? Knowing that we're loved first makes it easy to give that back. Maybe that's why things are ordered the way they are, so that we can love these little babies, because they're so dependent on us and they're such a part of who we are that we learn to love first. We learn to be loved first. To fathom God's love is to stand in awe of who God is. And maybe we'll never fathom it completely. But we know that we're loved, don't we? We feel it. We feel it when we're going through hard times. We feel it when we're in joyful times. Alex and I had a really difficult week with our daughter, Linda, and yet the entire time that we were going through this really difficult time, we knew that God was with us, that we would be loved no matter what, that we would be comforted, that help would come. So the first thing I did was turn to people here at the church for help. And Mike Lowry and Diane Forster Burke and Melanie, who is a psych nurse, and Tom Simons, they were all people that I went to first, because I knew that they could help me, and I knew that that was where God was leading us to get help. And so we're never alone, and we're always loved, and not once did I ever feel judged or hurt by any of those people who are part of the hands and feet of God here. I felt love and compassion. It's sometimes, especially when we're going through hard times, that we really fathom God's love. Maybe it's because our eyes are more open to it, or we need it more, or whatever the reason, we can fathom that love that we're getting, that there's no face to it. You know, maybe we have taken those pictures that that we grew up with, how the way that Jesus might have looked, and we think of that as God. Or maybe we don't have a picture of God at all, but we just feel that God is with us. This conversation that Jesus is having with us this morning is one that he had with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the leaders of the Jewish faith during the time that Jesus was alive. And he came to Jesus in the night. And he said, I see that you are someone from God. You wouldn't be able to do the miracles you're doing and the things that you do if you weren't from God. And he wanted some advice from Jesus. What do I do to attain the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you need to be born again, born of the Spirit. And he spent some time with Nicodemus explaining what that means, to open yourself up anew to what God has for you. To understand God's love is to understand that God sent Jesus to help us understand. To know that we're loved, though, all we need to do is watch for it, feel it, be in it, understand it for ourselves, because God loves us all as we are. Nicodemus had to come in the night because he had a lot of pressure from the Jewish leaders not to allow Jesus to be part of the teaching of the Jewish people. He was teaching something new that didn't have to do with striking back or hating or any of those things. So people wanted answers from Jesus. And that's what we get, because people decided to write down Jesus' words. That we are so loved that God sent us somebody, his own son, to help us understand who God is. But we need to figure that out for ourselves. In the whole series that Mike brought us about thinking about believing, we saw a whole history of how people tried to understand God. And the thing is, we saw so many opinions, and even within our group we saw so many opinions, and that's because God is each of our own God that helps us to understand God's self in a way that we can understand just for us. That's how loved we are. Because if you were a parent, you aren't really the same parent to all of your children, because your children have different needs, and we all have different needs as people. We have different strengths. Some of us are artistic, some of us are mathematicians, some of us are lawyers, some of us are doctors. We all have our own personality, our own beloved self that God knows and cares for. So we get to understand God in a way that works for us. Isn't that the beauty of God? That God is a personal God that we get to know, that we get to pray to. When I was talking to the kids about Solomon, if you read back and look at the conversations that God has with Solomon, there's a respect between the two. There's a true identity of each talking to the other. Solomon knows that he's going to be a great man, that he's going to be a king, but he's a humble human being who just wants to connect with God and be a good leader to the people. God was different with Solomon than he was with Moses. God was different with David than he was with Solomon. Because God comes to us in our need, and we can open ourselves up to God in our need, in our want, in our joy, in anything that we do. So God so loved the world, creation, people, everything that God has created, God loves. And in the beginning, in Genesis, God said that it was good. We are God's good creation that God comes to, that God connects to, because it's important to God. We were made in God's image because it's important to God. We were given free will because God wanted to connect with us in a way that works for both of us. Free will, it's an amazing thing. We're not puppets on a string that says that we have to be in church at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday or at morning brew at 9:30. We get to choose. We get to choose if we worship here or in the mountains or at home. We get to choose whether we worship or not. But whatever our choices are, God is still there loving us and pouring out love the way we pour it out to our children and those that we love. We love because God loved us first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And all we have to do is take it in. Believe it and love it. It's pretty easy, pretty simple. And then it's also really hard. But God loves first so that we know how to love. Let us take that idea, that knowledge that God loves us and all that's been done for us and all that's given to us, even now. It's not just Jesus who has been given to us. It's each and every one of us who helps the other. For me this week, it was Mike Lowry and Diane and Melanie, all of those who I reached out to and those who I had conversations with later, who prayed with me and loved with me and cried with me. We are loved because we've been given such great love. Let's take that and be that for each other like we always are. But to fathom that love, let's meditate on it. Let's take part of this Lent week and just sit with that idea that we are so loved, that we are beloved in every way unconditionally because God so loved the world. Amen.